So we'll have a brief little summation of this, myself and Dan Wood. Then we'll set it back to Josh. And, of course, one of the things you'll hear from him before he actually goes on the air is our play of the game. Just want to give you a heads up, because our play of the game is a great hockey sponsor. It's PDF Tron. PDF Tron, changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go, Ducks. And that will come your way when Dan and I are finished here in the next couple of minutes. Good effort by the Anaheim Ducks, Dan, but they fall short against a really good Seattle hockey club.
Yeah, Steve, I mean, obviously the odds stacked against the Ducks tonight, playing without their top two scorers in Trevor Zegras and Troy Terry. Zegras out with injury, Terry out for personal reasons with his wife expecting a baby potentially any time. And Adam Henrique obviously has been on the injured list for quite some time now. So really, the Ducks' three most proven scorers not in the lineup tonight. So you knew offense was going to be hard to come by. And in the end, the Ducks able to generate only one goal, the Brock McGinn goal late in the second period that narrowed the Seattle lead to 2-1. And then in the third period, especially early, the Ducks had some opportunities to get the equalizer. They really came out strong in that third period, just couldn't get another puck past Martin Jones. And then obviously for Seattle, the late power play goal from Daniel Sprong and the empty netter from Alexander Wenberg makes the final score 4-1. And really, even though Seattle carried the play most of the night, outshot the Ducks 39-19, I think that 4-1 final score a little misleading, Steve, because this is a game that could have gone either way.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They have this home ice advantage here, and I think it's a positive thought for the fans here. I think this team's going to give whoever they meet up in the playoffs all they can handle. It'll be interesting to see how far a team like this can go, but they're a solid team. They play good team defense, offense, and they pass the puck extremely well, too.
Yeah, and you know, this might be different if you are watching Seattle play against a better team, a playoff-type team, which is what they're going to be facing come postseason. But the Kraken reminds me of that nifty little sports car on the freeway that's constantly making lane changes and weaving in and out of traffic and is basically causing headaches for all the other drivers that are going at the reasonable speed, because the Kraken just continually comes at you. And I think from a defensive standpoint, your head has to be spinning with the pressure that this team puts on you. So it's pretty impressive what General Manager Ron Francis and Coach Dave Haxtell have built here in just two seasons.
Be interesting to see what the team thinks that ends up playing them come postseason. Well, we're heading up to Edmonton right after this game, and we'll see them Saturday, Calgary Sunday. And I don't know if you can ask for a more difficult scenario than trying to get two wins against those teams on back-to-back nights.
Yeah, the Oilers tonight, if I'm not mistaken, Connor McDavid was held off the score sheet in a 2-0 win over the Kings. And that's a scary proposition right there. If McDavid didn't get a point, you know he's going to be loaded for bear in his next game, which just so happens to come against the Anaheim Ducks. And we've seen that movie before when we were in Edmonton earlier this season. The Oilers just put tons and tons and tons of shots on net, and Lukáš Dostal with a stupendous performance that enabled the Ducks to sneak out of there with a 4-3 victory. It'll be another tall task on Friday, and hopefully for the Ducks, Trevor Zegras will be back and ready to play. We'll see. He's listed as day-to-day. Not sure, but we can hope.
All right. We'll look forward to that. Meanwhile, we're going to head to the airport and fly, what, about an hour or so to Edmonton from here, and greet you with a broadcast come Saturday night. We'll be on the air at 6:30 with our pregame show, 7 o'clock play-by-play. I want to thank Cash Hibbler and the crew back at Skyview in the state of Arizona. And Mr. Eklund up here in the broadcast booth, outstanding job. First chance to work with him. Look forward to the next time. And Josh Booster for all of his support as well. He's up next with Duck Calls, and I believe he's going to be joined by John Forslund, the TV voice of Seattle, and, of course, the NHL on TNT. So for Dan Wood, I'm Steve Carroll. Again, the Seattle Kraken beat the Anaheim Ducks 4-1. We're headed to Edmonton, and we'll talk to you Saturday night. One final thought, Anaheim Ducks hockey on the Ducks Hockey Network, brought to you tonight and all season long by UCI Health. We stop at nothing to prevent, treat, and cure cancer. Visit ucihealth.org/stopatnothing. So for Dan Wood and Josh Brewster, I'm Steve Carroll. Hope you enjoyed the broadcast. Despite the result from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, the final, it's the Kraken 4 and the Ducks 1. We'll talk to you Saturday from Edmonton. You stay tuned for Josh Brewster and Duck Calls exclusively on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn.
You love listening to live hockey, but what happens when you've got to hit the road? Whether you're heading to work, hitting the gym, or anywhere else, you can listen to Ducks content on all your devices with TuneIn. That's the all-in-one audio app that brings you top hockey, breaking news, your favorite podcasts, and so much more on all the devices you've got. We're talking smartphones, tablets, laptops, smart speakers, and even in-car entertainment systems. That way, your favorite audio and your favorite sports are never out of reach. Give it a shot. Grab TuneIn to take your audio with you.
The music you love is the key to a great day, and the best place to hear music for every mood from every genre is TuneIn. This all-in-one audio app brings together top curated music stations, spinning today's hits, top country tracks, the best in Latin hits, and anything else you want to soundtrack your day. Plus, if you upgrade to TuneIn Premium for a low monthly price, you'll keep the good tunes and the good vibes going without any ads. So if you're looking for your next party soundtrack, look no further than TuneIn.
You're listening to Live Ducks Audio, and we're here with a hot tip for sports fans. Check out TuneIn. This all-in-one audio platform brings together all the live sports you want. But what if you want to cue up some shows on your time? TuneIn also brings you the sports podcasts you love on demand. Listen to ESPN's full lineup of pods, great shows from CBS Sports, and so much more, all on TuneIn. Plus, because TuneIn's available on all your devices, you're never without something to listen to. Give it a shot. Check out TuneIn today.
Hear that? That's the sound of you taking off down those country roads. That's TuneIn's top station dedicated to the latest and greatest in country music. TuneIn, the app for audio lovers, curates our country road station with top tracks from artists like Carrie Underwood, Jason Aldean, and so many more. You can also take things up a notch by removing commercials with a TuneIn Premium upgrade. So, what do you say? Want to hit those country roads? Kick it into drive on TuneIn.
Call in and join the program. You're listening to Duck Calls with Josh Brewster.
McCann just put one on goal. Another chance. Beniers shoots. He scores. Matty Beniers. Boy, for the last 2 or 3 minutes, all the play down in the Anaheim D zone. Thus, Seattle has 2 goals with 9:23 to play. The last one by the youngster Beniers is very impressive. And Seattle has a 2-0 advantage.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Duck Calls, your Anaheim Ducks postgame show on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. We're taking your calls, Duck fans, at 714-940-2888, 714-940-2888 tonight. Kraken 4, the Ducks 1, and that is a tough one. I'll tell you what, you know, we're talking in the broadcast. I just wanted to see a good road game. Keep it tight, stay in the game, hang around. I thought the Ducks hung around pretty well tonight, considering that they had a depleted lineup. Brock McGinn, boy, he needed that. It had been a while. It was since March 8th that we had heard from him on the goal-scoring sheet. Good job tonight, Brock McGinn. He keeps the game competitive. And I got to say, you know, we needed a Derek Grant kind of game tonight, considering what we had lost in terms of we've lost Henrique and now Terry you know, good luck with the new baby if it comes, hopefully soon, and everything is great. And then Trevor Zegras is out tonight. So what do you do? Derek Grant was your best player the other night against Colorado, and tonight he helped out big time on that Brock McGinn goal. It's a tough one because, you know, you just couldn't come in waves the way that the Seattle Kraken do. And they've made a lot of progress as a franchise in their short history. But, you know, they come at you in waves. And it's an interesting club because Vince Dunn, a defenseman, is their top scorer. Comes into tonight's action with 61 points. And so, but you've got a whole bunch of guys who, you know, have chipped in 10 goals, 12 goals, et cetera. So, you know, it's an interesting club. They've just got a lot of guys top to bottom. And tonight, you saw what Daniel Sprong did. He had a cup of coffee here in Anaheim a while back. He got his 20th goal of the season for the Kraken. So, Trevor Zegras is day to day. You're subtracting a lot of skill here, obviously, with Terry and Zegras out of there. So, the Ducks had to keep it close. And I thought that, you know, other than the one that Lukasz Dostal probably wanted back, which was the one by Jaden Schwartz, which got the game scoring going at 7:56. Those two goals they scored within 2 minutes and 41 seconds in the first period, that held up most of the way. The Ducks lost it at the end when it was 3-1. You know, there was just an empty net goal coming. But, boy, it wasn't exactly a 4-1 game, was it? Just nothing pretty tonight. That's what we needed. Just nothing pretty but good pursuit and hustle, and we got it. You know what position the Ducks are in, but there are some positives here tonight. The Ducks blocked 17 shots tonight. Could have used some more hits, but we blocked 17 shots tonight. Though the problem, it's the typical story of the season now, getting outshot 2-1. You're in a 2-1 game. Often, you're being outshot 2-1 in terms of the ratio. It just happens. 40-20, 40-20. We get a lot of those. So tonight, you know, they double up the shots. They probably double up the time in the offensive zone, and they get out of there with they lead with 2-1 almost the whole way, and it would have been good enough to walk off with a victory tonight. But, boy, the Ducks made it very entertaining. What can I tell you? 714-940-2888 if you want to jump in. On my first segment here, in just a little bit, I'm going to go to John Forslund, see what he has to say. Great hockey guy. Cam Fowler went to the dressing room, but he toughed it out. He came back. I can just imagine how we'd be doing without him in the lineup, but he's certainly taken his lumps over the course of his career. I guess the quote of the night for me, when the game started 2-0, Seattle, or halfway through the first, I said, it's that adage, play the game, not the score. And I've rolled that one out a couple times of late. I'm rolling out tonight just because it really the Ducks didn't play badly. They just needed more offensive zone time, and they really hustled, and I thought they put it out there. And early on in the game, they were getting second chances. So that was one thing that went very right for the Ducks. They probably deserved a better fate than just one goal. But really, if they would have just – I just wanted them to stick with that game, because I thought that they were taking care of business pretty nicely. You know, just play a tough road game, a lot of hustle, and this is the kind of hustle we want to see. The only thing is we just don't have that finish and not getting enough shots. But we did hang around. Hard work paid off. Just can't manufacture as many opportunities. But I thought a lot of hustle on the back check tonight. You know, you see, and I haven't even gotten to Lukasz Dostal, but I was going to mention Simon Benoit in the third period. He goes for a big dive, swats the puck away. He's making plays. Brett Leeson on Brandon Tanev in the defensive zone. Then there's a power play goal. Strom goes to the box, unfortunately, and it's 3-1. By Daniel Sprong, but the Ducks were in it. Ducks were in it until very late. So let's do this. Let's take a break here on Duck Calls, and let's see what John Forslund has to say about this whole thing. And we'll talk about the NHL, talk about the Kraken, talk about the Ducks, see what John's got to say here on Duck Calls. I will be back right after this.
That keep your business performing at the highest level. Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook. And the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit bpbi.com. Member FDIC. It doesn't get much better than this.
NHLShop.com, the official online store of the National Hockey League and the world's largest selection of officially licensed NHL fan gear with unique one-of-a-kind designs by Fanatics, Adidas, and all the latest styles for every NHL team. Don't miss out. Shop now and get today's special offer. NHLShop.com, a Fanatics experience.
There was this guy who had a close circle of friends. They did everything together. They threw dinner parties, went on fishing trips, hung out at the beach. They were inseparable. But then one of his friends got in serious debt. He needed money. So he set this guy up, framed him, and had him arrested, all for 30 pieces of silver.
Jesus was sold out. He gets us, all of us. Visit HeGetsUs.com.
Welcome back to Duck Calls on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. Join the Orange Alliance today and get the best benefits, including a 20% discount on concessions and beer in celebration of our 30th anniversary season. For a limited time, when you purchase your membership, you will score a one-of-a-kind 30th anniversary Mighty Ducks jacket. Place your deposit now at AnaheimDucks.com/OA. AnaheimDucks.com/OA, the Orange Alliance. Well, let's get right to it. My guest tonight is John Forslund. He is the TV voice of the Seattle Kraken, and you also hear him on TNT, or see him and hear him on TNT. He has broadcast Stanley Cup Final, Winter Classics, it goes on and on. One of the great TV guys of our time, and here he is now, John Forslund. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Josh. I'm good, Josh. Thanks for the kind words. I appreciate it.
Oh, well deserved, at the very least, well deserved. So, John, let's just talk about the game in general, then we'll break it down a little bit. From the Anaheim perspective, it's a depleted lineup, no Zegras, no Henrik, no Terry. What are you going to do? You got to play a solid road game, and you got to hustle. And I thought that the Ducks, you know, they couldn't scrape up more than a goal. The Seattle, well-deserved victory. I thought they had the zone time for sure, and they certainly had the shots, but I thought that the Ducks played a good road game tonight, so there's a bit of a silver lining there. What are your thoughts about the game?
Yeah, I think the Ducks did a great job, and on the contrary, I think the Kraken could have put the game away sooner than they did, but they didn't, and that had a lot to do with the way Anaheim played. To their credit, you're right. They played a strong road game. They were sound positionally for the most part. Dostal had a few chances that he had to be sharp on maybe in the first period, but certainly in the second period, it was a low event period, and it's right up the alley of the way Dallas Eakins wanted his team to play, and they get the goal from McGinn. So now they're sniffing the game. The Kraken had to, buckle down in the third period. They pushed back at Anaheim, which was good. But based on the roster, man for man, to be fair, this was a lot closer than maybe it should have been. And what if the two chances Anaheim had in the third period, the Comtois chance, the Petrano chance, those were two of the best saves Jones had to come up with all night. So it could have been different. So from Anaheim's perspective, based on where they're at, the fact that they're just scrapping to get efforts and to just stay in the fight as long as they can for their own pride and for next year and all those types of things, okay. And then when you take out high-end players, what are you left with? You're left with a group that worked hard. Seattle's going to have to ratchet it up Saturday night against Los Angeles. I think it comes at the right time for the Kraken. I think they need a test. I think they need a playoff-style game, and that's what they'll have on Saturday night.
All right, John. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's talk about the goaltending for a moment, because after a shot, a very good shot by Jaden Schwartz that I, you know, Lucas Dostal could see. I have a feeling he was like, I wish I had another crack at that one. Matty Beniers right. made a tremendous move. He made a tremendous move. But I thought Dostal, I mean, look, he's got 35 saves on the night. I thought he played real well, but you're right. It was a bit of a duel because you think about that save on Vetrano, for example, and the one on Komtrov, but certainly that one on Vetrano when it was 2-0 with Strome. Martin Jones availed right. himself well, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about this as a duality. What do you think Lucas Dostal means to the Ducks next year? Do you think he takes over in the backup role? And on the Seattle side, what do you think happens as you go into the playoffs? Do you actually go in with a tandem? What do you think is going to happen there?
Well, great question. So first of all, you know, I haven't seen a lot of Dostal. I've seen him on television. I saw him live in Vancouver a couple of weeks ago. He played really well in that game. I'm impressed with him, and I know a lot about him from what he's been able to do in the American Hockey League. So, and I've spoken at length with Brian Hayward about this kid. So I think, in my own dumb opinion, I think he will be in line, you know, for that opportunity. I know that Stolarz is a UFA and Dostal is a RFA, so two different circumstances. But I think at his age, his upside, the future, you know, it might be time. It might be time for him to assume a number two role in the NHL, see where it goes. For the Kraken, you know, I've been saying for weeks here that, you know, for the Kraken to really, you know, get in, which it looks like they will, but for them to make any noise at all in the playoffs, I feel it has to be Philip Grubauer. Now, Grubauer has been kicked around, Josh, based on what happened in year one. His beginning of his season was just okay, and then he was injured. And when he was out and not, you know, gaining any traction, that's when Martin Jones, at the absolute right time, played some of the best hockey he's played in a few years. And so he's 25 wins now. A lot of that is not by accident. Some of it is, you know, the numbers will tell us that when Jones plays, for whatever reason, the Kraken score more. And as you know, they can score a ton. When Grubauer plays, the run support isn't there. Grubauer has the body of work, has the experience, and Jones does too. But I think Grubauer was brought to Seattle to be the number one goalie. This will play out in the ensuing weeks. Right now, it appears to be a toss up. Jones had struggled until tonight, but this was a good performance for Martin Jones. It wasn't an easy game. Again, it was a low event game, as they say now, which means not a lot's happening, right? I think that's what that means when they say low event. But, you know, it's hard for a goalie to play in those games and stay sharp. And because of his experience and his resume, you know, he's able to do that in a game like this. So he can make two quality saves in the third period when they needed it. And it really boiled down to that. So I think the answer to your question is Dostal for the future for the Ducks. Sure. And for the playoffs for the Kraken, it's undetermined. It's going to play out in the games that remain.
John, let's talk about the Kraken and how things have shaken out in terms of the scoring here. It's an interesting situation because I think it goes to show you that management, it made a number of decisions in the right direction. And you've got Vince Dunn coming into tonight with 61 points on the season, leading scorer as a defenseman. And then you have a whole bunch of guys who have crossed the 10-goal threshold or more. And everybody, well, there's just a whole bunch of guys producing goals. So it's an interesting thing because there's not, I mean, you've got Jared McCann, certainly in the goals department at 35. But, you know, talk to me about how this club all of a sudden has a whole bunch of players who are producing and a defenseman who's leading the way.
Vince Dunn's been a remarkable story for this team. He was a player that in the first year, you know, came in with a puck moving reputation as a subordinate defenseman with a really good team in St. Louis, young guy. Can he take the next step? Which, you know, the two things happen with an expansion team. There are players who are castaways and are looking for a new beginning, grasping for that. Then there are players who are looking to repurpose their young careers. And that's the category Vince fit in. But most of the season in the first year, you know, playing as a subordinate to Mark Giordano. So Giordano's brought in. He's the first captain in Kraken history, obviously. And with his status, you know, a lot of the ice time at 5-on-5, penalty kill, and power play went his way. So Vince was a second option on the power play. And it wasn't until the trading deadline where, you know, Gio left. And now, lo and behold, Vince Dunn has more responsibility. And he took off with it. So you see the Ducks and where they're at, Josh. And people say, well, gee, there's a team that doesn't have much to play for. There's always something to play for, as cliche as that sounds. And Vince made the best of a team that was long gone in terms of playoffs and had about 4 weeks to prove of what he could do to the management and to himself. Had a real good offseason, trained hard with Gary Roberts in the Toronto area, worked on his conditioning, came back. And from day one, he and Adam Larson have arguably been one of the best tandems in the league, if people are paying attention, which, as you know, on the West Coast, not everybody does. Right? And so, right? And that's the key.
John, I've gone on about that. I've gone on and on. Go ahead.
Yeah,
please continue.
Yeah, and so you can have kids playing, you know, lights out over here, and two-thirds of the country is asleep. That means that they didn't see it, so it didn't happen, right? And that's not right. I know when I worked in the East for years, and it was harder. I've gotten up in years here, but I worked hard to stay up as late as I could because I knew there'd be national games, and I knew that it was a likely chance I'd be out in the West Coast in the playoffs. So you just can't drop in out of nowhere. You gotta have some credibility attached to what you do. So pay attention. I wish more people did. But anyway, getting back to this, Vince Dunn and Larson, a great tandem all year. Larson has been an unbelievable leader and minutes eater, and arguably their best defenseman. Dunn has been a 1B right behind him, but Dunn has more points, more dynamic, moves the puck well, plays into their transition game, has been a real good power play guy, even though their power play hasn't been great all season. You know, with better finishers, you know, he might have even more points. So it's coming in a contract year. He's an RFA with Arbrights. It'll be interesting to see where all of that goes. But certainly a big part of what they do. The scoring balance has been there all season. And remember now, they're playing without Andre Burakovsky and have for 2 months. And he was their leading scorer all season until he was injured right out of the All-Star break. And so without him, they've still been able to keep this scoring balance in place. And I think they brought it up in the broadcast tonight, which was a really good point. Burakovsky still has the second most power play points on the Kraken, and he's been out for 2 months. Yep. So if they get him back, that'll be a plus. I'm not sure they will, but if they get him back, that'll be a plus. But that's been how they've gone about it. It hasn't been one line or elite players. It's been four lines of structure, four lines of balance. Every line has a role. You speak about one line and you're misspeaking because you're leaving out the other line or the two other lines that are in back of that one. That's how they do it. And I think tonight kind of showed that. The Beniers line was really good, I thought. Schwartz had a great game for the Kraken. And you know, they're piecing it together. And then Sprong, who your fans are familiar with, I mean, you know, 20 goals as a fourth line guy playing about 11 minutes, which is remarkable.
Yep, it certainly is. And we certainly remember him. It's interesting how, you know, a whole lot of hard work and stick-to-itiveness has paid off for Daniel Sprong.
Yeah.
Couple things, John. I'll tell you what, you were of like mind. I have said, I'm just going to say this because you brought it up. I've said this way too many times. John, look at all the people who are stunned at Hampus Lindholm in Boston. I'm like, he's been playing for years. What do you watch? This surprises you, right? So I have a problem with a lot of this East Coast stuff because they don't, they're not staying up a lot. What bothers me, John, is I think sometimes the writers somehow need to be obligated to stay up and watch the games. But let me say something about Adam Larson. I think he got a bad rap for years, John, when he was traded for Taylor Hall. And of course, Hall went on to win the MVP. I always said, you know what? If you need a defenseman who can play all, if you can play heavy minutes and play in every situation and show up for 82 games and doesn't get injured a lot, and he's a good defenseman, and you need that, why was this such a bad trade? I think Adam Larson is a real good player, and I'm glad you pointed that out because I thought he kind of got a bum rap over that Taylor Hall trade, John.
Yeah, and when you look at Edmonton, they had to go out and make the Ekholm trade. You scratch your head, because if they had this guy, then why? Some things must have happened there. I know that he went through a family tragedy when his dad passed away. I think there were some bad moments in Edmonton that he probably didn't have much of an interest in going back there. I don't want to speak for him, but I think that's kind of maybe what happened there. But they could use him, and they would be, if they had Larson re-signed and they went out and did what they did to get Ekholm, the way they're playing, they might be onto it. But he could play in anybody's top four, Josh, and he's so athletic and strong. 25 minutes per game is nothing for this guy. And his recovery is unbelievable. You can get him out there every other shift. He can protect leads. He can kill penalties. He has more of an offensive game, probably, you know, attached to him early in his career when he was in New Jersey. Then you get kind of typecast as a stay-at-home guy, but he can join the fun. He can join offensive plays and score goals, and has scored some big goals for this team. But when I call him the big cat, because when he gets in the corner, he's a menace. He kind of has a sleepy way of playing, and then he just goes in there and he's on you before you know it. He pounces on attackers. He pounces on pucks, plays the body in a strong way, boxes out well, and is really a leader. Like, he's a wonderful, wonderful guy. And that's part of what's going on here with the Kraken. You know, in a league where everybody says that, well, great bunch of guys, blah, blah, blah. Ron Francis has put together a group of character. And when they, if, and they're close, and if they do get in, there's more Stanley Cup experience on the roster than some of the teams they'll see. So that's going to be kind of a hidden thing for this team. Not sure what they'll do in the playoffs, but they have the experience, and they'll have experienced players that not much is expected from. That could be a dangerous formula, you know, in a dangerous situation for the opponent. We'll have to see how that plays out.
John, let's take a quick look at the playoff race in our last few minutes here. Tonight, over in the Eastern Conference in the Metro, you've got New Jersey and the New Jersey Devils and the New York Rangers, and the Devils top the Rangers 2-1. This is at the Rock. You know, I'll tell you, Carolina lost tonight, so they're only 1 point ahead. But, you know, what do you think about the possibility of a Devils-Rangers first round over there in the Metro?
It's great for hockey. It'll be wonderful, and it'll be so much fun to watch because of the way the two teams play. You know, there's so much skill involved here. The storylines are immense. You know, you've got the Rangers with Patrick Kane joining the team and joining that group. And Mika Zibanejad is such a dynamic player that I know he gets attention, certainly in New York. But he is a fabulous player. Panarin, you know, you go down the list, Adam Fox in the back end, Shesterkin in goal, and he's starting to really dial in again. And then you've got the Devils, who are I love to watch them. I love to watch them play. They're calling for Lindy Ruff's job at the beginning of the season, and then all of this comes together, and with Jack Hughes and Jesper Bratt and Dougie Hamilton in the back end, I think the goalkeeping might be a little bit of a question mark. It might be a defining line in a possible playoff series. We'll have to see. But again, they play an up-tempo style that's swarming, that's fast, that counters quickly. That'll be a tremendous series to watch if that happens. And you know, there'll be a lot of them as always, you know, and we'll always get to these first round situations, which are sometimes more compelling, you know, the deeper we go in the playoffs, but, that'll be the case. Devils Rangers will be the, you know, the old Hudson River rivalry will come back, and, it'll be back and forth, and the fans will get into it. And that's all good for the game. That's all that is.
John, let's talk about Toronto-Tampa because they're on a collision course. I don't think mm-hmm. anyone's going to interrupt that collision course. You know, with the Leafs, John, I've observed the Red Wings chipping away at the stone for years, and then finally the wall breaks. So is that Toronto this year? And then from Tampa's perspective, I still look at them as a force. They've got the goaltender for sure, and you know, I just feel like they're waiting in the weeds with Nikita Kucherov and a whole bunch of weapons, and they know that if they get to get into the playoffs, they can cut loose. Talk to me about Toronto and Tampa because they're on a collision course.
Yeah. Well, you know, Toronto obviously has bet the ranch on this situation. And, you know, they make all these deals. Now, when they get Ryan O'Reilly back, it'll be interesting to see where he slots in, you know, how Keith uses him, and how much traction he can get with their lineup, you know, going into the playoffs. So it's hard to judge them right now because he's injured. But there's something – I watched them last night against Florida. They should have put Florida away and didn't. And I see them play, and I see them play against Carolina over the weekend. They end up in a situation where they played well. They had the puck a lot. They lose the game. It's too obvious to look at goaltending, although that's a fair question. You know, whether it's Murray or Samsonov, we'll have to see. Did they do enough, you know, to add to their defense? Is McCabe going to make that much of a difference, on their back end? You know, how is all of that going to play out? There's no question their firepower is unbelievable and completely off the charts. And then you get to Tampa. Well, Tampa has the muscle memory. They know they can beat them. They know they can go into their building and win the most important game. It happened, right? So when a team like that has that in their makeup, and they've been to the final 3 years in a row, I think what we've seen here has been interesting over the last few weeks with Tampa. You've seen a worn-down veteran winning program kind of get to a point where they can't take it anymore. What I mean by that is they're tired. They're done with this. And I'm going 2 weeks back now when the three biggies were benched by John Cooper, right? Remember that game? So when that game happened, I think that was the wall. And that was a team just saying, you know, please get us to the playoffs. We need this. And here's the coach trying to push and grind his guys the best he can. And he went to that. And it didn't initially work, but then it did. They played over the weekend in Boston. They played their best game in a couple of weeks, and they lost 2-1. But then they went into Carolina, and I watched that game, and they went back to the Tampa Bay Lightning. And then tonight they won big. You know, and Vasilevsky slowly is starting to dial back again. So as I said last year before the playoffs started, and I'll say it again, until proven otherwise, when you have that forward group, when you have Kucherov and Point and Stamkos and the rest of them, and then you've got Victor Hedman on defense, and you've got Vasilevsky in goal, and you've got John Cooper coaching, how can you bet against that? I mean, you just can't. So the Leafs have a lot to prove here, and it'll be a great series. You know, and again, it'll happen in the first round and somebody goes home. But that's the way it is. And then Toronto will either exercise a huge demon and everybody will be safe, or it'll be interesting to see what happens with Toronto, you know, based on their all-in approach. And if it's still not enough when you go all-in, you know, some questions will have to be answered.
All right, John, let's finish with this. We got a new union boss, Marty Walsh, and he was saying today that reestablishing the World Cup of Hockey is among his many goals. Of course, Connor McDavid spoke out about this recently. Of course, you have the World Baseball Championship going, so it sparks an interest. I never really understood, John, why the Canada Cup, you know, went away. Of course, that went away, yeah. But I understood why that went away. But then in 96, we had the World Cup, and then we didn't see another one for 8 years and then for another 12 years. What do you think is going to happen with this thing, and do you think it'll ever be on some kind of a regular schedule, maybe every 4 years?
I hope so, because to me, it's the only thing that makes sense. It makes sense in a variety of ways. First of all, best on best is what the players want, you know. So if you can come to an agreement with the players, you know, and maybe it can be used as a bargaining chip, because I think based on some of the things he said today, there's some issues. You know, they got a couple, almost 3 years to work on this, but there'll be issues with the cap and with escrow and all these different things. But if you can put this in front of the players, a thing that should work, should make sense for everybody, and do it every 4 years and say you're going to get this opportunity and have it be played, you know, in September. So we don't have to disrupt the season. It's perfect, right? Because as we saw with the World Baseball Classic, it whets the appetite of the fan. It excites the high-end players. The high-end players, Josh, are not interested in going to training camp. They aren't. And so not many people are. I'm not. But, I mean, you know, it's a situation where everybody has to do it. But, you know, if you get a break from it as a high-end player and you get to go to this tournament and play the best against the best, it energizes everybody, and most importantly, the game and the fans. Give the fans what they want to see. I think the Olympics are just not doable. There's too many things going on in the world. It disrupts our season. The owners, you know, why would you want your best player risking injury at the worst possible time of the year? If somebody gets hurt, God forbid, and if it is serious, and if it does happen in September, there's a very good chance the player can rehab and be back in the second half of the season, and certainly by the playoffs. So to me, that's where it is. And I hope he's successful, because that's what we need. We need more of this to grow the game. And if we don't do it, we'll do what we've done for a number of years. You know, hockey, in my opinion, has always been right to a point, and then somebody shoots it in the foot, right? And so that's got to stop. And hopefully they can come to an agreement on that, because it'll be great for the game.
No, I mean, it's a priority. You know, John, real quick here before we go, it just occurred to me. I want to ask you, talk about good for the game. The one thing that's gone very right for the Ducks in the last two seasons is, and you're not checking a lot of boxes on that front, the goals have been hard to come by, but there's a certain something that Trevor Zegras is bringing, John, and you've been watching hockey for a long time. Give me your reflections on what you think he means, and what you think the possibilities are, because I just love it when a player, and he's not the only one, but I love it when a player comes along with that kind of flash that you just can't bottle.
Yeah, I like it that he just continues to do his thing, and it's hard because there'll always be, it's the nature of hockey, and a lot of it's well-intended, because I've always appreciated the humbleness of the athletes in hockey. I think it's good. But I also think when I watch him play, it's just a passion for the game in his way. Right. And so he always has a smile. I've never met him. I've never talked to him. I've called a few of his games. So watching him from a distance, I see a smile and I see exuberance. I see unbelievable talent. I think there's a learning curve there. I think he's got a, and I think this season there have been a couple of situations where the coach has pointed a few things out and given him some hard love. I think he needs that. I think as the Ducks become better and they move along, and I think the best guy to run it and to show him the way would be a guy like Pat Verbeek. He's going to need to just get a little bit of that. But when he gets a little bit of that intangible, you know, it'll be great to watch, because that's another thing that we need. The young generation that has come into this league, they're very interesting. They have their own way of doing things. You look at a kid like Quinn Hughes and the way he's been able to play. I don't know. I'm an old schooler. I consider myself an old schooler, but I like the fact that we're getting some of this in the game now. The emphasis on skill, because every night something happens. You know, we could go long stretches back in the day where nothing happened. And sure, it was hard and it was abrasive, and you'd have probably, you know, more pushback, you know, between the teams and all this. But to see the highlights every night, you know, every night we're getting it, that's just a tribute to what we're seeing now with young athletes. I think it's fair to say that in every sport, even in baseball. You're seeing it the way they play today. There's highlight catches made all the time, not just every once in a while. So let's wrap our arms around it and watch him grow. Watch him grow as a player. You know, his steps will come, and they come in the playoffs. There's no other way around it. But it's just different. You know, the way Getzlaff played and Perry played, that was different. They came into the league at a different time. So they were part of a younger generation that kind of had to blend in with what was already there. Zegras is coming in now with Beniers, and you go right down the list, and the young man in Columbus that scored the Michigan goal the other night, Johnson. I mean, they're all doing it. I mean, you can go to a rink, you know, and watch 14-year-olds do this stuff.
Yeah.
So this is what they're doing. This is the generation. That's right. So my philosophy has always been: don't get lost in the past. You have to honor the past and appreciate it, but also understand this is where we're at. So let's get excited about it. Let's not stunt it, and he will. He'll get pushed back. You know, it's just the nature of hockey, and he'll have to play through it. But to watch him play, and to watch how he sees the game and zips that puck around, and it's really something to behold. And I think the fans there are going to have something special for a long, long time. But he's not alone. There's so many, and what at the highest level right now, what McDavid's doing this season is off the charts. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah. You really only see that every 20 years or so. John Forslund, thank you for being so generous with your time tonight. It's always a treat to have you on Duck Calls, and I hope you have a great rest of the season and good luck in the postseason, and we'll be seeing you for sure.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks so much. Great talking to you, and keep up the great work. I appreciate it.
John, much appreciated, John. All right, let's take a break here on Duck Calls. 714-940-2888. 714-940-2888. What about the Ducks? This was a solid team effort tonight. The losing aspect, no, I don't like it. But the compete, I like that a lot. I'll be right back.
There was this guy who had a close circle of friends. They did everything together. They threw dinner parties, went on fishing trips, hung out at the beach. They were inseparable. But then one of his friends got in serious debt. He needed money. So he set this guy up, framed him, and had him arrested, all for 30 pieces of silver.
Jesus was sold out. He gets us, all of us. Visit hegetsus.com.
We all have difficult times and face challenges. You're not alone. There are things you can do in your daily life to support your healthiest self. Make sure you get enough rest and set a positive mindset for the day ahead. Grab a friend and take some time to get outdoors to breathe fresh air. End your day by jotting down 3 positive things that went well for you. For more resources on ways to build your healthiest self, visit ducks.ocnavigator.org. The OC Navigator is brought to you by the OC Healthcare Agency and the Mental Health Services Act.
Will of the People World Tour. April 12th, Honda Center. Muse. With special guests, Evanescence. And Highly Suspect. Will of the People, the new album, available now. Tickets are on sale now at muse.mu. Muse, produced by ADG Presents.
Welcome back to Duck Calls on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn. With luxury suites and all event club seats, you get access to every event. All from the best seats Honda Center has to offer while enjoying the most luxurious amenities. As a special incentive for all event club seats, new multi-year agreements will now receive 3 months of free events. Visit HondaCenter.com/3. HondaCenter.com/3. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, 4-1 tonight. It wasn't a 4-1 game, but it just ended up that way. It was a 2-1 game until Daniel Sprong said it was a 3-1 game on the power play. Ducks hung in there for a long time. I mean, you know, look, no Zegras, no Henrique, no Terry. You're going into Seattle. They're a little locked in, but they need the points. And they come at you in waves. They just, as we were talking about with John Forslund. So I like Derek Grant's game the last 2 games a lot. Great to see Brock McGinn rewarded. I gotta say, Frank Vetrano, you know, I think it could easily be 25 goals for Frank right now. Love that player. He loves to shoot, and you know, he's always out there. He's always hustling. He's always trying to make something happen. And we can't get enough of trying to make something happen. Comes into tonight with 202 shots on goal. And, yeah, he added another four tonight. So he's our leader. 206 shots on goal puts him in league with, I think, like Jack Eichel, Bo Horvat, around the high 40s in the rankings. So, you know, good for you, Frank Vetrano. He's a good pickup. And, by the way, I misspoke recently. I was saying he was making high twos. He's actually making in the mid-threes. I think he's about $3.6 million. But it's a tidy sum, and it's a nice deal for a club that's going to have to sign up Troy Terry, Jamie Drysdale, and Trevor Zegras. That's going to be an interesting summer. What does Pat Verbeek do then, and what does it leave him room to do? And what's the timing on all that, right? So, interesting summer coming up. 714-940-2888 if you want to jump in here in my final segment. Let me catch you up. I'm going to catch up on the playoff race because some other games have concluded since the intermission when we talked about this. One of them, the Oilers toppled the Kings tonight 2-0. Connor McDavid scores his 61st goal, a shorthanded goal, and it's 2-0. So, the Oilers, Stuart Skinner, he gets the shutout. And the Kings needed that one, but it's getting very interesting here in the West. Edmonton leapfrogs the Kings. Edmonton's in second place with 97. And L.A. now has 96, but they have a game in hand. So that's going to just go back and forth. Vegas tonight. Vegas Golden Knights actually lost in San Jose in overtime 4-3 tonight. Logan Couture scored 50 seconds into overtime, his 26th goal of the season. So Vegas is at 99, Edmonton is at 97, Kings are at 96, and with the win, Seattle's at 88 in the Pacific. The wild card race, Seattle's the first wild card. Winnipeg is at 85, they were idle tonight. Calgary's at 83, they were idle tonight. Nashville stays at 82, they lost tonight to Pittsburgh. So in the East, just to catch you up, in the wild card race in the East, you got the Islanders at 87, then you've got Pittsburgh at 84, Florida at 83. Florida wins tonight at Montreal, so they're at 83. Pittsburgh, they win tonight. They shut out Nashville 2-0. They're at 84. So Pittsburgh solidifies their hold on the second wild card spot. As I mentioned earlier, the Hobie Baker finalists were announced, and it's Adam Fantilli who will likely, if the Swedish forward Carlson doesn't go second, Adam Fantilli will likely go second after Connor Bedard. This is an interesting player, and obviously we have a special interest in this as Duck fans, and since this comes up constantly, and why wouldn't it, I can catch you up that the Ducks are in third position at the moment because San Jose won tonight. So you've got Columbus at 53 points in 32nd place in the league, and then you've got Chicago at 54, the Ducks at 56, and then San Jose at 57, and that, of course, will change and change again as time goes on. So we'll see who gets how many lottery balls and how that all works out. So Hobie Baker, Adam Fantilli, this is a guy who really reminds you of Nathan MacKinnon. He plays at the University of Michigan. He is a finalist. He led the NCAA Division I with 64 points in 35 games, 29 goals in 35 games. Michigan's going to play Quinnipiac in the national semifinals. Then you've got Logan Cooley, who was selected by the – this is an interesting twist here. Logan Cooley of Minnesota, who plays with defenseman Jackson Lacombe, who you know from the Ducks system, who knows, you may see him sooner than you think. Who knows if the Final Four finishes, Who knows? Maybe he gets a game in now. I don't know. But Jackson Lacombe will be coming up from Minnesota at some point. He's a big prospect for the Ducks. But Logan Cooley is a forward who was selected by the Coyotes with the number 3 pick in 2022 last spring, and he's a finalist. And then you've got Matt Nyes, who was selected by the Maple Leafs. It's interesting. Austin Matthews from Arizona stars with the Leafs, and Matt Nyes... He's like 6'2", 225 or something like this, and he's a big winger, and he was selected by the Maple Leafs in the second round. He's from Arizona, so he is the other finalist. So Matt Nyes, Logan Cooley, and Adam Fantilli. Cooley, Coyotes draft pick. Matt Nyes is from Arizona. He's a Toronto draft pick, and Adam Fantilli goes to University of Michigan. You know, guys like Matty Beniers and Owen Power and whole bunch of guys coming out of the University of Michigan, so we will see what happens with the Hobie Baker. So that's what's going on right now, and let me skip through the other scores that happened earlier. Some games of no consequence, one of them Blues 5, Blackhawks 3. The Red Wings beat the Hurricanes tonight 3-2 with four seconds left. So Carolina is at 103 on top of the Metro. But they're toppled by Detroit tonight. So it's Carolina 103, New Jersey 102, the Rangers 98, the Islanders 87. The Lightning toppled the Capitals tonight. They're locked in to play Toronto. The Lightning are. Senators 5, Flyers 4, game of no consequence, little consequence at this point. Ottawa's not likely to make it. The Penguins solidify their hold, as I mentioned earlier, 2-0 over the Predators, and the Devils beat the Rangers 2-1. We talked about that. The Panthers over the Canadiens. Panthers are up and down, but they're staying in position. They're just 1 point back of Pitt. And then the Bruins beat the Blue Jackets in overtime tonight. And the Bruins just keep rolling along historic proportions. David Pastrnak's 53rd goal, 41 seconds into overtime. All right, 4-1 tonight, Seattle over the Ducks. I will talk to you Saturday. Got another broadcast coming up here, and I'll tell you what, we're going to play the Edmonton Oilers Saturday and then the Calgary Flames on Sunday. You join me here on DuckStream. Thank you so much to John Forslund. Thanks for listening to Duck Calls. Have a good night.
Regional Mexican Radio has a track record of bringing good vibes and classic Mexican tracks all day long. And tune in. The all-in-one audio app is here with our exclusive Éxitos Mexicano station, carrying on the radio format of Regional Mexicano with top artists. Listen to La Música del Momento from La Séptima Banda, Calibre 50, all ready to bring your day the best Mexican music. And don't forget to upgrade to TuneIn Premium for all music with no ads.
The classic hits from yesterday bring you just the right hit of nostalgia. With chart-topping songs that never go out of style. All spinning on TuneIn's classic hit station. We're talking iconic hits from the greats, like Madonna. Elton John. The Master, Prince. And so many more. The best part? It's all spinning every day on all your devices on TuneIn's classic hit station. So go grab TuneIn for the best listening.
Global news happens fast. Stay plugged into your world with TuneIn, the best app for all things audio. TuneIn brings you top news sources like CNN, Fox News Radio, and MSNBC, plus key financial outlets including Bloomberg and CNBC. The best part? If you upgrade to TuneIn Premium, you'll unlock commercial-free news, bringing you more than 5 hours of bonus news content every day, instead of ads. So keep up with the latest headlines and stay in the know every day with TuneIn.
Between live hockey and sports talk, you listen to a lot of audio. We're here to let you know about TuneIn, the app that brings all of your favorite audio together. So whether you're listening to Duck Stream for live hockey action,
drive, score!
Breaking news from the sources you trust,
I think Mark is overreacting to this.
Music for whatever.